In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg. It's a blessing to always have you with us in these morning Bible study times. Last time we were together, we encouraged you to sit down and take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 14. We started discussing the difference between personal preferences and biblical convictions. And there is a big difference. If it is not in black and white in God's Word a command to do something or stop doing something, then it can become just a personal preference, something that you personally feel like is wise, but you can't necessarily use Scripture to back it up. And we're simply saying in the first five verses of Romans chapter 14 that we are to be fully persuaded in our own minds concerning these gray areas. See, we were sharing with you last time that the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians were coming at it in this new church setting with their own backgrounds. And they all believed that their backgrounds were correct, and so they're viewing Christianity as a whole from their Gentile background or from their Jewish background. But the Apostle Paul is saying, whatever background you're from, as long as you're members of the same family, receive one another. And we mentioned last time that to receive means to take as one's companion, to take by the hand in order to lead aside, or to receive into one's home, or listen to this, to receive or grant one access to your heart. Grant one access to your heart. That's what the word receive means. So even though someone is of a different opinion on a gray area, we are not to ostracize them. We are not to set them aside. We're not to ignore them, but we are to receive them. Now, note the scripture teachings here. First of all, uniformity is not imperative. Uniformity. We don't have to believe alike. We don't have to behave alike. But we do have to love and accept each other as each follows the knowledge they have in their walk with the Lord. See, the Bible says in verse 5, every man is persuaded in his own mind. That means by the Holy Spirit, not by some other man. So uniformity is not an imperative. Secondly, unity is not impossible. Verse 6 says that some regard certain days and other regard other days or don't regard these days, but all of them are giving God thanks. There's the unity. See, only as we let the Lordship of Christ control His servants, that means you and everybody else in the family, He is the judge. He's the master. See, the hub of Christian fellowship is Christ. And we're just the spokes. So the closer we are to the hub, the closer we are to each other. It's so vitally important that instead of separating from other believers that may have different opinions about these gray areas, I need to pull myself closer to the hub. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I do so, I'll find it easier to receive those that may have different opinions. And so the question is, are you fully convinced according to the Word of God? Secondly, am I doing this unto the Lord? See, that's what it was saying in those first 10 verses of Romans chapter 14. The Lordship of Christ unites us in this life and in the life to come. So the argument of these verses is that the believer is under the control of the Lord, not some other man. So differences of opinion fade after a person dies. So live today with the Lordship in view. And we ought to just make up our minds, we're not going to despise a weaker brother or judge a stronger brother. We're going to receive them. And there are areas of differences of opinion. For instance, some folks wouldn't go to a gospel sing if their life depended on it. They just feel like, oh my goodness, how in the world could a Christian possibly go to a gospel sing, because that's not their preference of music. Or some country music songs or church staff wives wearing slacks on the church property, or Christian schools and Christian colleges, or the idea of teaching psychology in Christian colleges. Some folks will even say, well, I'm not going to read a book because they don't use the King James Version in their book. When my son and his wife were on deputation to go to Brazil as missionaries, they had a picture on their slides where they were at a Christian camp and they were rappelling off the side of a mountain. And my daughter-in-law had a pair of, they called them trousers or slacks on while she's rappelling. And so one of the churches said, well, we're not going to support missionaries whose wife wears pants. Well, if you've ever been rappelling, you realize at the bottom of that cliff, there's a man down there looking up to help the person do the rappelling. Do you want them to be looking up into a skirt or a culottes? Seriously? See, foolishness so many times drives our opinions. My son also told me that one of the churches sent them a questionnaire, and they were, you know, asking, does your wife wear slacks, etc. And one of the questions was, what does your wife wear to bed? In other words, does she wear pajamas with slacks? My son responded, nothing. Now, you know that got them, don't you? Okay? Obviously, they said, no, this is not the kind of church that we want to be accepting support from. See, these are the kinds of questions that Satan loves to have us arguing about instead of receiving one another. I remember one time we had an electronic keyboard brought into our auditorium, and I was accused of being neo-evangelical because we now had an electric keyboard. So, you know, so many times we argue about things that are gray areas. For instance, I'll really get in a mess here. How about using drums in accompaniment for Christian songs? We have a set of kettle drums in the orchestra, and as the orchestra is playing along, we've got somebody that plays, and can you imagine somebody's got drums? Bless God, how could that be right? Well, you know, you just don't simply know the scriptures, because the Jews used drums in the Old Testament. They were round hand drums, 10 inches in diameter, covered on one side with a parchment membrane, and they were called timbrels or tabrets in Jeremiah 31:4. They were used by Miriam in her song to praise God in Exodus 15, verse 20. They were used by the women as they greeted King Saul in his return from battle in 1 Samuel 18:6. They were used in Psalm 81, verses 1 to 3, in songs of divine praise. So they could use drums back then, but we can't use drums now. They could raise their hands in praise to God, but they can't do it. Are you with me? And we got some folks that got frustrated when we stopped using hymn books and put words up on a screen or held microphones in their hands or celebrated Christmas. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, so many times we argue about things that are gray areas that one person is convinced in his heart that it's not a sin. But if it's different from the way we believe, we become judges. God has specifically said, don't judge my servants. Don't judge my servants. The next question is, will it stand the test at the judgment seat? Remember we read in verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, for it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. To God. You see, it's important for us to understand that we live unto the Lord, we die unto the Lord, and since I'm not going to give an account of my brother, then why do I have the right to judge him now? Well, I don't. See, he will have to give an account to God himself one day concerning his actions, his words, everything that he did. And so consequently, the desire to criticize another brother in Christ is challenged in this passage. Notice its purposelessness. In verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Why do you sit at not your brother? In other words, criticism and gossip never accomplish anything worthwhile. Anything. See, both the stronger brother who despises his weaker brother and the weaker brother who judges his stronger brother, both are in sin. Both are in sin. So it's purposeless to criticize one another. Secondly, it's presumptuous. We're presuming to have the right to despise or judge our brother who's going to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. It's like being in a federal courtroom and you decide you're going to go sit in the judge's seat and publicly condemn your brother, and then the judge himself walks into the courtroom. Oh, man, how humiliating you are, because you have no right to be sitting in the judge's seat. And the same thing is true concerning our relationship with our brothers in Christ. We must receive one another as God does. Secondly, in verses 13 to 23 of Romans 14, the Bible says we are to edify one another. It says, let us not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Boy, that is such an important verse. For whatever you feel like you have the freedom to do, don't destroy the work of God. So many times that's what happens in church issues. Because I believe this way, I'm willing to destroy the work of God. Verse 20 says, all things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, the last verses of chapter 14 basically tell us not just to receive one another, but to edify one another. So the first question is, are my actions or my habits or my attitudes causing others to stumble? In other words, those things that I do because of my Christian liberty. In other words, stumble is an interesting word that we need to evaluate. But again, we've run out of time. So be sure to join us the next time we're together as we evaluate what does it mean to edify someone else and what does it mean to actually cause another brother or sister in Christ to stumble. And so until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.